listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
My mama was raised in the era when clean water was only served to the fairer skin. Doing clothes you would have thought I helped, but they wasn't satisfied to the lust. I picked the cotton myself. You see, it's broke nigga racism that don't touch anything in the stove. It's that rich nigga racism that said, come in please, I'm old. What you want, a Bentley for a coat, a diamond chain? All you blacks want all the same thing. Used to only be niggas, now everybody playing, spending everything on Alexander Wayne new slaves. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Monday, ready to do some podcasting.
Yes sir.
Man, you know, right before we started the show, I read that Zack Snyder's stepping down from the head of the DC movie universe because his daughter died.
I just read some family tragedy.
Yeah, his daughter, I guess, died by suicide, and you know, that I think Joss Whedon's taking over or whatever.
Oh, my heart goes out. I mean,
yeah, as much as people complain and all that stuff,
but that's
some shit more important than, you know, entertainment or whatever.
I know it's so.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Ooh.
Yeah, my heart goes out to him and his family because that is something that I can't imagine, and it's something that you never get over.
Yeah. Wow. So, man. Yeah,
I really hate to hear that.
Like, I know, you know, it's all games and jokes and shit when it comes to, you know, talking shit about, oh, this movie is terrible, Zack Snyder, the Murderverse, and all this shit, but, yeah, it's not,
that's nothing to joke about. And sound like they put in the hands of Joss Whedon. Mm-hmm. And to me, in my opinion, I might be wrong, but those are good hands.
Yeah, I mean, they are lucky to be able to, as a movie franchise, they're lucky to be able to do that. But just as a human being, that's just, I can't even imagine what the fuck he's going through.
Yeah, that would make me step down too.
Right. And they had kept it a secret. It happened in March.
Oh.
But they just didn't talk about it all this time until they did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, and he basically said he about to step down. So
yeah, because that gotta be a lot, like just going on in your personal life,
right? So I don't even want to yep, no jokes, no partying, no snark, no nothing, man. Rest in peace, and hope they you know, can deal with that family tragedy, you know, best as they can, because I can't imagine losing a child at that age and all that stuff, man.
How old was this child?
20.
Oh, she was a young adult,
right? So that's a lot. At any rate, I wanted to say that up front. Of course, this is the Blackout Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews if you like the show. And if we like the review, we'll read it on the air. We only got one last week, so I don't know what was up. But
I don't know what was up. Y'all know we done held Revival all week long. Y'all know y'all been coming to the Revival. Y'all been eating the chicken, y'all been showing up, and now, you know, me and co-pastor been looking. Now we don't want to have to call people out by names and embarrass you in front of the congregation for you to leave us reviews. Now
I'm operating on about 3.5 hours sleep right now because I stayed up and made sure we got our premium stuff working again.
A lot of people happy this morning when they woke up.
Yeah, the feed is working. No, you don't need the new like patch or anything, just the old feed is updated and working right now. You know, spent up all weekend doing stuff behind the scenes with the site, working with Chris, doing all kinds of stuff to try to figure out a solution. And
yeah, still got more work to do.
Yeah, and it got resolved, but yeah, I do all that stuff because I know y'all appreciate it and I know y'all pay for it. And you know, people have been emailing me and hitting me up, and I've been trying to give them updates and everything. So if you're listening to this now, if you're premium, and you know, of course, if you're still valid and everything, your feed is working right now. So go enjoy that stuff. All right, this podcast has a weapon. Its official weapon is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme.
Oh, and before we go, before you go on, I want Because I think, when was it, last week or something, somebody had mentioned this in the chat. For those of you that want to go premium, there is a complete difference between going premium and donating. So when you go in, be sure that you go and you just, if you want to be a premium member and do the premium and not a donation, because those are two different things. The donation does not give you access to the premium content.
Yeah. And we're sponsored today as well. Let me see. How about, I don't know. How about this? Why is this not playing? Okay. First, R. Kelly. Columbus, his whole image.
Yeah, he did.
Aaron Hall. Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom, and they are backing up that promise like you're gonna be backing up that thing. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of just about any item when you enter code TBGWT at checkout. You'll be saying, "Daddy, these are some good deals." But in addition to that, now backed by popular demand and for a limited time only, you also get the free Big O kit. And I'm not talking about the anime. Who doesn't love the Big O? Adam and Eve Big O kit includes their exclusive climax gel and a mini vibrator. And you can never have too many vibrators, guys.
Unless you're in Texas.
Gotta catch them all. So now you got a new way to get her off. What girl wouldn't love that? You'll also get your entire order sent to you for free. So hurry. Take advantage of this limited time offer. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else. And when you choose that one item at 50% off, you get your free shipping plus the Big O kit, which includes the climax gel and the mini vibrator. You won't find this deal anywhere else. Just use offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Don't be afraid, y'all. All right, let's get into some other things, such as the fact that there's all kinds of news going on, and you guys know here at the Blackout Tips, we talk about all kinds of news. If it's in the news, there's a good chance that we will cover it. But there's one particular type of news that we haven't done in a while. Right, Time for more tragedy and pain.
I know, right?
Well, it's not all bad, guys, right? Some of this got to be good news. Oh, God. a man who threw boiling water on a gay couple will spend 40 years in prison.
Good.
Yep. He was an Atlanta truck driver accused of pouring boiling water over two gay men as the couple slept in February. Now, how the fuck did you even get in a place where they were sleeping? Jury deliberated for about 90 minutes. Good. Quick, fast, in a hurry. Get his ass up out of here. They found him guilty of 8 counts of aggravated battery and 2 counts of aggravated assault. He sentenced to 40 years in prison. The 48-year-old wasn't charged with a hate crime because Georgia is one of 5 states that do not have hate crime statutes.
Wow.
An FBI spokesman told Reuters that the federal investigators are considering whether to charge Blackwell with a federal hate crime. Well, that seems like a no-brainer. Anthony Gooden, who had told his family he was gay shortly before the attack, which happened as Gooden slept on a mattress in his mother's living room next to Marquez Tolbert, according to AP, the men have been dating for about 6 weeks. Yo, that sucks. You only been dating for 6 weeks and you end up getting burned laying on the, like, you know, I barely know this dude. Blackwell, a long haul trucker who stayed at the house when he was in town, came in and saw the two unconscious men lying next to each other. He went to the kitchen, pulled out a pot, flipped it with water and set it to boil. Filled it with water and set it to boil. Now that's premeditated. In the time it took, that you had a bunch of time to think about that.
You could have put pasta in it. You could have cooked yourself a meal. Put some salt in there.
Right.
Come on.
Moments later, he poured the scalding water over the men. I woke up to the most unimaginable pain in my entire life, Tober said, sobbing frequently during his testimony. I'm wondering why I'm in so much pain. I'm wondering why I'm wet. I don't understand what's going on. The Blackwell family allegedly yanked him off the mattress. Blackwell allegedly yanked him off the mattress and yelled, "Get out of my house with all that gay." With all that gay.
But they don't got hate.
They were stuck together like two hot dogs, so I poured a little hot water on them and helped them out, he said to the police. So he didn't even think this shit was like an unreasonable crime.
Mm-mm.
This is assault, motherfucker, and a hate crime. They'll be all right. It was just a little hot water, he said. Blackwell claimed the two men were having
skin.
Huh?
You can melt their skin, fuck them up for life, dog.
Right, you can die from burns,
right,
and get infected, all kinds of. Blackwell claimed the two men were having sex when he poured the water on them. Vicky Gray, a friend of Tober's, told the news station that's not true. They were asleep after a long day at work. Not that the alleged attack would have been justified in any case, she noted.
Right.
Tober must now wear compression garments 23 hours a day for the next 2 years. Gray wrote in an email to the Post and is attending weekly counseling and physical therapy sessions to deal with his emotional and physical scars. It's difficult for him to go outside because sunlight exacerbates the pain of his burns. Gooden, who was burned even more severely, was in a medically induced coma for several weeks. Gray said, right, it's just a little hot water. According to his GoFundMe page, more than 60% of his body was burned. He had to undergo skin graft surgery to repair the damage to his face, neck, back, arms, chest, and head.
Holy shit! Wow.
40 yeah. years don't even seem like enough, dog, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yeah, smack him with the federal crime, too.
Right. Imagine if this was just like two black people staying down somebody's house and a white person threw hot boiling water on them. We wouldn't be like, oh yeah, 40 years, it sounds cool. Motherfuckers should never, like, if you capable of that kind of evil, I just don't know what you could possibly be doing on these streets. A Catholic school teacher was reportedly fired after being outed as gay by his students. Catholic school teacher said his students discovered he was gay and they outed him. According to DNA Info, students at St. Ignatius College Prep, where Matt Tedeschi was formerly a religious studies teacher, found out he was gay and they spread information around the school. Students reportedly harassed Matt both in the classroom and on social media as a result of his sexual orientation becoming public. Nearly a year after he was outed, he was fired. He thinks it's because he's gay.
Of course it's because he's gay.
What does it say about those students in that school that, in that, you know, the administration, that that's something the students felt empowered to do as well. Like, because when you can't be gay and be a teacher, so we should be able to, because that means your teacher can't really fight back on social media or report the kids to their parents, because being gay is grounds for termination, I guess, since it's a religious institution. Crazy. In this place that prides itself on being a value-based school and teaches us to care for the vulnerable and marginalized, it is precisely the same religious basis that allows horrible harassment to take place, he said. Matt thinks he was fired because being gay conflicts with some teachers of the Catholic Church, though the Pope said last year that the church should apologize to gay people for having marginalized them. St. Ignatius has denied Matt was fired for his sexual orientation, adding that he is treated fairly at all times by the administration of the school. We wish him the best in his future career.
I don't believe you. Same new Pope, same shit.
Well, number one, I mean this doesn't go all the way up to the Pope. This is just that school, so it don't, you know. Number two, we have an administration and a lot of people in power that want to make sure that schools and all kinds of institutions can't be punished for this anyway.
Right.
So even if they would have said, yeah, it's because he's gay, so there's very little that can be done about it at this
point.
Right. Because nobody has your back. There's no advocate in the White House. There's no advocate in the criminal justice system, really. There's no advocate in the Supreme Court, really. So I'm actually surprised they didn't just say, yeah, that's why we did it. But like I said, I don't know what being gay has to do with being able to teach a course.
Nothing.
You know? And the fact that they outed him, they discovered this, and I feel like it's like when we have issues that I'm like, I'm pretty sure that this happened because I'm black, even though letter of the law I wouldn't be able to prove it, but I just have a feeling. That's kind of what I think he's going through, and I just believe him if he says, look, yeah, man, I think this happened to me because I was outed as gay, and the information was spread around the school until it was time to get rid of me. I bet you he's telling the truth, and I bet you it has something to do with it. I doubt if he was just a good teacher and they just randomly decided, oh, not this year, that doesn't make sense. So yeah, that's
and now since you're fired and people don't want to hear this, children are asses. So I'm fired now, so you know what, I'm not beholden to the school. Okay, y'all motherfuckers harass me. I have, you know, copies of this. Let's do something about it now.
Yeah, what happened was a kid found his OkCupid profile, and the student reported he took a screenshot of the profile, spread it around school via text message. Harassment continued this school year, and this spring the school reportedly told Matt that they would not renew his contract. He outed me to a bunch of students. He knew that he was making fun of me and insulting me. He wanted to embarrass me. Mm-hmm. While being gay is nothing to be ashamed about, it's not okay that someone spread that information without Matt's permission, because right, coming out should always be a personal choice. While coming out can be a positive, freeing experience for some people, others are afraid of discrimination or backlash because of their sexuality. Well, if you're working an institution like a Catholic school, you might be doubly afraid because it could fuck up your check. A Mississippi funeral home is accused of refusing to transport or cremate a gay man's body. How's that a thing? Where's that in the Bible?
Ain't that your job, though? You're the funeral home, right?
Right. Dead. I mean, technically, he can't.
He can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't spread the gayness.
Right. Y'all always talking about love the, what is it? Hate the sinner. Hate the sin. Love the sinner.
Right.
He dead. He can't do the sin no more. Mm-mm. What's the point? Yeah, apparently Jack Zawadzki's partner of 52 years had just died, and it was time to make funeral arrangements. But the 82-year-old says he was refused service by a funeral home in Picayune, Mississippi, when he and Robert Husky had where they have lived for 2 decades. I felt as if all the air had been knocked out of me, he said. He filed a discrimination lawsuit against the funeral home. Mm-hmm. Bob was my life. We had always felt so welcome in the community. Then at a moment of such personal pain and loss, to have someone do what they did to me, to us, to Bob, I just couldn't believe it. No one should be put through what we were put through. Husky and Sawadzki got married in the summer of 2015, just a few months after same-sex marriage became legal in Mississippi. Husky's health began to deteriorate, and he died in a nursing home last May. Think about how they, like, They had been together 52 years. How long they had to wait? They had to wait that long just to have a right to get married.
Right.
Although arrangements had been made in advance, the trouble began when the funeral home received paperwork from the nursing home identifying Zawaski as his husband. It was then that the nursing home allegedly refused to pick up the body and perform the cremation. The nursing home could not keep the body on site, so Zawaski and the nephew scrambled to find another funeral home with an on-site crematorium. The closest was 90 miles away. Adding to the stress was finding another funeral home in Picayune that was willing to transport the body from the nursing home to Hattiesburg. Lambda Legal has joined Zawaski in the lawsuit, which seeks damages for breach of contract, negligent misrepresentation, and intentional neglect, negligent infliction of emotional distress. Mm-hmm. The nephew, John Gaspari, had carefully made all necessary arrangements before Husky's death to protect Zawaski from additional suffering.
I would sue the fuck out of them too, because I could imagine, not trying to be fun, this is part in a hillbilly no hit town with a small population of people, because it don't sound like this near, I mean, it's probably near a big city, but you know, the town itself probably tiny. Mm-hmm. You know, and probably everybody in the city probably knew the you know, this was the few gay couples or the few people that they knew were gay. And if you had a problem with this is something that you should have told me before we made all these arrangements. Telling me after the fact, and like you said, you got to go fucking 90 miles to find me. So now you inconvenience me. Now I got to spend money that I did not plan on spending. I could have made these arrangements in advance.
Stephen Colbert defends his Trump jokes that sparked the hashtag Fire Colbert Twitter, backlash. The Late Show host addressed the controversy but didn't apologize. I have jokes, he said. He has launch code, so it's a fair fight.
I don't know what he said, but you know, he got the right to say it.
Well, you know what he said was essentially, he made a joke that Trump sucks Putin's dick. He said something like, you know, use your mouth for something about Putin's cock holder or something like that. And yeah, he didn't apologize, which I wouldn't even expect him to apologize, to be mm-hmm. honest. I think this is that thing too, where he's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same shit with Dave Chappelle, all these people. If the controversy is enough to get him fired or for him to lose his gig or something to happen to him, then the market will dictate that.
Yes, it will.
If it's not, then I mean, this happened a couple weeks ago. Karen didn't even know what it was. It didn't raise to the level mm-hmm. of getting him fired. I think it goes on his track record with other jokes that people don't like that mm-hmm. he's made. I think also some of it was people who hate liberals and hate Stephen Colbert mm-hmm. who were pretending to be outraged,
right?
Which, if you support Trump and his administration, you don't get to be outraged at this joke. I'm sorry. Like, if you're one of those people where you're like, I support taking away gay people's right to marry, I support taking away the bathrooms from trans people,
I support women not getting equal pay.
Not just women, I'm talking about LGBT stuff. I'm talking about specific hypocrisy. Yes. If you're like, I think you should be able to discriminate and fire people for being gay. I think you mm. should be able to say, I won't make a cake for you at my bakery because you want it for a gay event. If you're one of those people, I don't give a fuck what you have to say because I don't believe you.
Right.
But if you're not one of those people and you found it to be offensive, I completely understand and empathize. I just didn't think, like everything with comedy, I don't think you're gonna get somebody fired necessarily unless you already kind of support them, which is funny because normally they wouldn't cross, people don't cross an audience that supports them. So it's that catch-22, like, can you piss off enough people to get something taken off? I just don't think you get anybody canceled. I mean, think about all the shit that's going on and they find ways to keep stuff going. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like Duck Dynasty, people that did way more egregious shit, you know what I mean? Fucking
for years.
Yeah, even Paula Deen somewhere still cooking and getting paid to cook.
Ain't she though?
You know, it's just, I don't think it's, I don't think the world works that way, which is why I also, I would like people to understand where I'm going with this, which is why I also don't feel sorry for Stephen Colbert. I don't feel sorry for Amy Schumer. I don't feel sorry for Daniel Tosh. I don't feel sorry for Dave Chappelle. You know, I enjoy their comedy. I enjoy some of that, but at the end of the day, if enough motherfuckers don't like you, that's why you make all the money, man. You know what I mean? You host a show where you want America to tune in and like you, say what you have to say, and in Stephen Colbert's case, more liberal type America to tune in and listen to him and like what he has to say. So I didn't think that, like when I saw the controversy, I didn't think it would come, anything would really come of it. It's one of those things where I think, I guess it's just hard to do. It would have probably been just as easy for him to apologize and be like, I won't make that kind of joke again. I see what y'all saying, you know, implying that he's sucking some other man's dick is at least mildly homophobic. Yes. Like, I don't think there's a way around that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I doubt that that's enough to get him quote unquote canceled or any of that shit. Also, low key noticed that some of the cancel Colbert shit was people that don't fuck with the black people that started that cancel trend shit trying to co-opt it. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, but yeah, that's what he did, man. He apologized. Let me see if I can play the apology.
Still, am I still the host? I'm still the host!
That's what the host, yes, still the host, said to open Wednesday's late show.
It's not worth seeing.
Okay. no problem, I didn't know.
Yeah, so he came out and said, you know, basically I'm still the host and, you know, it's a fair fight. It's not a fair fight anyway. He got the launch codes. I got these jokes. I'm gonna be roasting his ass every night. And that's also the other thing. When you want to play Batman, Batman doesn't kill people. You know, Batman doesn't use guns. You know, shit like that. So like, a lot of times people want to be like the liberal voice and crusader. It's increasingly difficult to be that and be funny. And you like, you have to be very, very, very fucking good to be funny and not offend anybody. Cause right. I feel like every single joke offends somebody and it doesn't matter.
Somebody's gonna be the butt of it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how people try to couch it. Also, no offense, but there's a lot of people, they don't support comedy like that anyway.
No, a lot of people are anti-comedy, though, truth be told. They just don't like comedy.
Like, they're gonna sit around, they're gonna complain, they're gonna talk shit, anytime something comes up where they can shit on comedy or talk about it, they're gonna do that. But the general public doesn't support comedy. The general type of people that sit on the internet and boycott shit, they don't really support comedy like that. And there's a contingent of very, you know, militant liberal people that for the most part they're not very funny. Mm-hmm. And they don't really support anyone that's funny because every type of comedian and, you know, person that does comedy does something. Mm-hmm. It's just they got to do something that crosses the line. That's kind of what comedy is.
Yeah.
If it's too safe, then nobody fucking likes it. Like,
right.
Nobody gives a fuck about that safe. Then you're corny. You know what I mean? If you're, this is not a diss, but if you're Kevin Hart and you're like, I'm not going to ever offend anybody, then you just going to have people be like, that motherfucker's not funny. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying I think he's not funny, but that's how people treat it. Like,
right.
Everybody loves Kevin Hart, which means he can't be funny if everybody loves him. Some people got to hate you. So, you know, it was halfway a contrived, the problem with the internet now is it was half contrived people trying to be like, cancel Colbert. Meanwhile, you look in the fucking avatar, American flag, dog,
bald eagle,
right, proud, deplorable, shit like that, and you're like, you don't really care. Then you have people that were like, I really do care, this does bother me. The other thing I noticed in the articles I read about it, and this is something that I've been going all the way back to Gabby Douglas, and they talked about her hair and we broke it down on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, y'all. Took tweets that had 3 retweets. Somebody with 5 followers
talking about like it's fact,
and they would be like, these people hate Stephen Colbert, they want to cancel Colbert. And you look at it and you're like, they actually don't.
Yeah, because this shit didn't even go viral. What are you talking about here?
Like, there would be people who, I don't know if it went, it might have trended, I don't remember, but no. I just, what do you mean it didn't go viral?
I mean, like you say, when they get these people, like, these low number counts and stuff like that. Like,
oh, you, yeah, the you, tweet didn't go viral. Right. Yeah, I think the hashtag might have trended.
Yeah, I'm not saying the hashtag did, but a lot of times they go out there, they get people, sometimes, not all times, but very few followers where you like, what
yeah, this yeah, from? And the tweets that were in the articles that I saw, the most angry right. tweets, were from people that either had no following
right.
or nobody retweeted it. That's always a telltale sign of an article mm-hmm. where they're fishing for a controversy that's not there.
Right.
And they write about it like, oh my God, people were so upset. And then you're like, it really wasn't that many people upset. But yeah, the new wave on the internet is getting that kind of shit to trend when, for like conservatives and stuff. So like, if you liberal and you fuck up, they are able now to use the internet enough to get that kind of shit to trend and make it look like everybody's so upset. And then you go look at it and you're like, oh, this person, well, who were they? You know, like when Tim Allen's show got canceled, it's like, yeah, that's trending, but look who the fuck's talking about it.
Right.
I'm gonna cancel ABC. Like, cancel ABC, y'all gonna cancel ABC, y'all niggas ain't gonna watch. Or CBS, y'all, whatever show channel was on, y'all not gonna watch that show, any that channel ever again. I guess when football comes back on, y'all done, get fuck out of here.
Right.
U.S. judge allows the first transgender person to sue under disability law.
Good.
Yep, a U.S. judge ruled on Thursday that a transgender woman could move forward with a sex discrimination lawsuit against her employer under the Americans with Disabilities Act, even though the ADA explicitly excludes transgender people from protection. Plaintiff Caitlin Blatt becomes the first transgender person to be allowed to sue under the ADA for gender dysphoria, according to her Philadelphia-based lawyer Neelima Vanguri. But U.S. District Judge Joseph Lee avoided the ruling on the constitutionality of the ADA, as the plaintiffs had sought under the legal principle that courts should avoid decisions on the constitutional grounds if possible. Leeson from the Eastern District of Pennsylvania found the case could go forward in part because the law should be broadly construed to give people with disabilities recourse to pursue discrimination claims. Being transgender is not considered a disorder by the American Psychiatric Association, but it can give rise to gender dysphoria, a type of anxiety that may require medical treatment. Gender dysphoria forms Blatt's basis for making a claim under the ADA. Blatt is suing her former employer, the retail chain Cabela's Inc., for sex discrimination, because saying she was fired after a pattern of harassment that included denying her use of the women's bathroom and temporarily forcing her to wear a name tag with her male name given at birth. Blatt, 36, worked at Cabela's store in Hamburg, Pennsylvania in 2006-2007. She was fired, she said, when Cabela's alleged she threatened a co-worker's child during the altercation at work. Damn, that got dramatic. Blatt denies that, though. Cabela's representatives did not respond to an after-hours request for comment. The company previously declined to comment because the litigation was pending. The ADA passed in 1990 as a landmark law protecting people with disabilities, but the lawsuit filed in 2014 challenges a little-known clause in the ADA that disabilities shall not include transsexualism. Wow. They knew that back in 1990. And people act like the idea of being transgender just came out like when Caitlyn Jenner came on the scene.
It's been around for a very, very, very long time.
The lawsuit, which also cites protections of the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act 1964 against sex discrimination in employment, had asked the judge to rule that the ADA clause violates the U.S. Constitution because it denies equal protection for all under the law. So that's the part the judge is like, I ain't ruling on that. Like, I ain't trying to fight the Constitution, just saying. Vanguri said she would have preferred that the judge had ruled on the constitutional question, but that this is still a victory because of similar cases that other plaintiffs filed after Blatt. Other courts will look to this decision. I'm hopeful we will be able to expand civil rights for transgender people just a little. I mean, that's kind of positive, you know, considering what we normally end up with. First trans scholarship offered at a U.S. university.
Wonderful.
Community College of California has announced that it will award a scholarship to transgender students and students who are active in the trans community. The Mira Costa College is the first in the U.S. to provide a scholarship specifically for the trans community. The annual value of the scholarship will be $1,000 raised through the help of donations from the college staff, students, board of trustees, and by the local community. The college will not take any steps to verify if the person receiving the scholarship is transgender. The representative of Mira Costa's Gender Sexuality Alliance said to ask someone how they identify could unfairly out them and put them in an uncomfortable position and even potentially further victimize or marginalize them. So questioning someone absolutely will not be done. It is inappropriate and it broaches confidentiality and privacy issues. The college GSA started fundraising in 2015 to establish a scholarship called Trans Pride Scholarship. The GSA organized different events to fundraise, including a queer cupcake sale. By the end of that campaign, they raised $26,535. Anyone, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, is welcome to attend our work for Mira Costa College. GSA faculty co-advisor Stephen Denny said, the scholarship will still be eligible for students who do not identify themselves as transgender if they can show commitment to supporting the trans community. This includes working on social justice issues, volunteering at the local LGBTQIA center, or attending GSA meetings. As Mira Costa is a public institution, to be non-discriminatory, the scholarship could be given to someone who does not have any involvement in the transgender community. If a person who is not in the community or has no involvement in the community applies to the scholarship and is the sole applicant, then they would receive it by default as the most qualified and only applicant to GSA added. Which, you know, that ain't gonna happen, so. Mm-mm. But good, man. That's dope. It's pretty cool. I like that they thought about the fact that somebody had to be like, how you gonna know they transgender? They're like, we're not looking, okay? Yeah. Just fuck mm-hmm. it.
We're not gonna keep no
lips. You say it, we take your word for it. Right. Let's go.
Right. We believe you, people.
Right.
We're not gonna fight you on who you are.
Oregon is planning to be the first state with a no gender option on its driver licenses. Which could be available this summer.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's different. Oregon is on track to become the first. Of course, I always think Seattle and Portland are liberal, but maybe more of Oregon is liberal than I thought. They're on track to become the first state to allow residents to skip a gender identity on the driver's licenses and identification cards. Transgender residents say the change will make them feel safer as they hand over their licenses at restaurants, health clinics, and airports.
Right.
The Oregonian reports, the Oregon Department of Motor Vehicles doesn't oppose a change and will, yeah, I mean, it's less work for y'all. One less check, right? And we'll hold a hearing Wednesday in Portland in Oregon. Changing the rules on gender identity for a driver's license doesn't require a vote by lawmakers. Those who want a new license with no gender listed would have to pay a renewal fee. Last year, a Portland judge allowed Jamie Shoup to legally identify as neither male nor female. Shoup asked for an updated license, prompting the proposed changes. Oregonians could change their licenses and identification cards beginning this summer, instead of F or M, their license would display X under sex. Yes, I'll have some, please. X.
Ah!
Can I get XXX under sex? Cause I'm nasty.
Oh Lord.
Some people don't identify as male or female, Amy Hirschfeld Koppel, to the co-executive director of Basic Rights Oregon. We're excited by the DMV proposal because it is an important step in recognizing that what we already know to be true, gender is a spectrum. We have a system in much of this nation that is forcing intersex, transgender, and non-binary people to make a choice between male or female when it doesn't fit them or accurately describe them, Shoup said. In the case of people like me, it's like making a mixed race kid identify as white and pretend to be white and had a doctor's trying to make them white. An estimated 20,000 Oregonians identify as transgender, according to the Williams Institute at the University of California, Los Angeles. A 2015 nationwide survey of 28,000 transgender people found that more than a third identify as neither male nor female. I didn't know that. Since Shoup's win, judges in Polk and Benton counties have allowed transgender Oregonians to change their legal gender to neither male nor female, and it has taken until now for the DMV to allow its systems to have a third option. So there you go. We ended on a high note. Just mm-hmm. not gonna read any more of these. Just go to the next segment, because who knows?
Yeah, let's go on to the next segment. Let's end on a high note.
Who knows what the fuck else was gonna happen?
Mm-mm. I don't want to find out.
The sacred Japanese island that's reserved exclusively for men and only those prepared to be stripped naked and purified.
In the water, Minnetonka.
In the lake of the lake.
Lake of Minnetonka. No. It should have got water in it.
You know what? If this is an island only for men, I wonder if it's called Trash Island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently, the little known island Okinoshima, which is located in Fukuoka, is steeped in religious Shinto tradition, and as a result, much fear of superstition is considered off limits to women. According to historians, the gender restriction stems from folk stories that claim women were turned to stone if they neared the 17th century Okitsugu Shrine, which is located on the Isle southwestern portion. I mean, it sounds like maybe some dudes are there doing some things they ain't want them ladies to see.
Yeah,
they made up them this
them lies. I think a lot of them, they was up there having that gay sex with that man, said that gay sex, doing that gay sex thing, and even, they ain't want the women around.
Yeah, even if a male visitor is granted access to the sacred site, he must first be stripped naked and purified in a formal ceremony. Purified, he gonna get stripped naked, and then they gonna purify him. What, they gonna put some oils all over his body? Don't rub him down with some holy oils. Is that what y'all doing up there, guys?
Give me some holy sperm.
Mm-hmm. And get on your knees. We're gonna purify you. Then once there, he's expected to show utmost respect to the land by never taking a souvenir or discussing it upon return to the mainland. So right. When you get back, you can't tell nobody. You can't take no pictures. That's what it sounds like. Don't take no pictures and don't talk about it. Number one rules of Fight Club is we don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, ain't no telling what's happened up on that hill.
Currently, Okinoshima's population consists of a single person who's employed as a guardian of the said religious temple, which is an offering to the Kami spirits. However, it could soon become a destination point for holidaymakers or equality campaigners after it was listed for inclusion in the UNESCO World Heritage List. The application is still being considered, and if successful, could see the site inundated with visitors and media attention. However, speaking to the Japan Times, the chief priest of Munokata Taisha, Takazuki Hashizu, said it will forever remain closed to the public. People shouldn't visit out of curiosity, he said. Meanwhile, here in the UK, a number of women-only spaces are still being celebrated, including travel company desperately seeking adventure. They describe themselves as offering active and inspirational holidays, short breaks and days, and activities for women who are looking to do something different. That sounds different than just the island that won't let women on, but okay.
Right. Does the women rule got you? Can't take no pictures, and what happens in Fight Club, stay in Fight Club rules?
Right. I mean, we have an island like that in America. It's called Fire Island. So maybe that's what it is, you know. Maybe I'm just saying, it just seems like clearly there's gonna be some type of shenanigans, is for a better word. It's gonna be some shenanigans going on, is all I'm saying, guys.
Mm-hmm. It's something happening up there that ain't supposed to be happening up there.
Yeah.
I mean, they want it top secret. They don't want nobody to know. Like, it is really something happening up there. You can't talk. You can't discuss. You got to take a vow of silence. Yes, something's happening up there.
You can't bring nothing back?
Right.
How does that make sense? Why can't I bring nothing back from the island? She's gonna bring back some cocks? You gonna bring... this nigga brought back dildos. I knew they was up to no good. I should have known when I saw Kurt Frost at the island. I should have said, something is up. As soon as you get off the boat at the island, they come out and greet you. Take off your clothes. Strip naked. Come on, take it off. It's time to purify you. Go get my oils. We're going to bless this body.
Another boat just pulled up. Mm-hmm. Hey, boys. Hey.
No ladies invited. Get your ass back on that boat, girl.
You got a vagina. You got to get up out of here. Men's only.
Right. Y'all ain't fooling nobody, Japanese people. Mm-mm. Know what y'all doing on that damn island. Rihanna and Lupita Nyong'o will co-star in a buddy movie directed by Ava DuVernay for Netflix. That's right. A fucking Tumblr joke is turned into a real fucking... It's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
it was a picture of Rihanna and Lupita sitting side by side at some type of event, and and somebody made the joke that was like, they look like they're in a heist movie with Rihanna as the toughest nails leader slash master thief and Lupita as the genius hacker. And apparently that shit, now it's a movie. And it's, people was like, and it was funny, I watched it come together on Twitter, and it, you know, it was, to be fair, it was black girl time.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was joking and having a good time.
I didn't contribute. I, you know, might have retweeted a couple people or something. I just watched it. I watched it. I observed. I didn't have anything to add. Women were cracking me up all day with the jokes and stuff. And that was it for me. Like, I just got my life to it. And, you know, like most things on the internet, it's like, all right, that's it. Well, now it's real. Issa Rae might be writing the script. So I mean, like, it's complete black girl magic time. After a dramatic negotiation session at the Cannes Film Festival, Netflix has nabbed a film project pairing Grammy winner Rihanna with Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o in a concept that began as a Twitter sensation. Ava DuVernay will direct and Issa Rae is writing a screenplay. These were all the jokes that I saw on the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because they would make the jokes and then you would see the celebrities be like, you know what, I would do that. Like, somebody made the joke first, and then Rihanna, like, Lupita tweeted it, like, yeah, that's, we should do this, and then Rihanna, like, replied and shit, and I was like, oh, the whole time I was just like, oh, shit, it's crazy. And yeah, I saw, like, a couple brothers try to jump in the fray and get they shine and shit, and, I just feels like black girls only, man, for me. So I just stepped the fuck off and laughed at the jokes.
Mm-hmm. And it will be trending whenever it come out, too.
Yeah. Twitter users went as far as to ask DuVernay, who's in post-production on A Wrinkle in Time for Disney, to direct, with Ray, whose second season of HBO's Insecure will debut July 23rd, to write. Karen still hasn't finished watching Insecure, y'all. Mm-mm. Ain't that some shit? Ain't that some shit? Soon after, all four women pledged their support to the project on the social media platform. And now we got it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Issa Rae just printed a video of a cat typing at the keyboard because they was like, Issa, you know, you need to start typing and helping out. And Issa put out that, like, okay, I'm working on the script. Since then, the buzz is only intensified, with some creating concept art of the scammer story they envision, with Rihanna playing a woman who cons white men while her brilliant co-conspirator played by Nyong'o orchestrates the heist. It's unclear how faithful Ray will remain to the crowdsource concept. Since the piece was published, reps for Ray told Vanity Fair the original Twitter users who imagined the concept for this film will be credited and included in some form. But if she needs a suggestion for the ending, Rihanna's appearance on the Cannes red script sparked inspiration from her fans. This looks like the end of Rihanna and Lupita scammer movie, and I'm so into it. It's Rihanna in a white dress on the red carpet. Sources say Ray is already working on the script and the studio is eyeing production at the start of 2018 after DuVernay completes her current film. The news comes at a time when Netflix is already a big topic of the conversation at Cannes. I think is how you pronounce that. Anyway, the festival came under fire when it booked two Netflix premieres, Bong Joon-ho's political fantasy Okja and Noah Baumbach's family drama The Meyerowitz Stories, New and Selected, even though the streaming service has no plans to debut the film in French theaters. The controversy continued when Cannes jury president Pedro Almodovar said last week that films without cinematic releases should not be considered for prizes. Oh, so it's a whole other thing. Well, you know what? I don't care about that festival, but I do care about this story. So good for y'all.
Mm-hmm. And Netflix is so big, it wouldn't surprise me if certain shit they would put out in the theater just so y'all can eliminate them from these awards.
Well, they did that with that Idris Elba movie.
Mm-hmm.
They put it out for a sec, but it sounds like they're going to stop doing that. It's probably costly for one, and then two, I mean, to a certain extent, does it matter if a Netflix movie wins an award compared to, you know, like Amazon won an Oscar for Manchester by the Sea, and I just don't see people being like, well, this now makes Amazon Prime the fucking new wave. Renew your U.S. passports now, the State Department says. Is your passport expiring soon? Well, you're not alone. In 2006 and 2007, the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative went into effect, which for the first time required passports for Americans returning by air from Mexico, Canada, Caribbean, and Bermuda. Millions of citizens applied, and the State Department is anticipating a surge in renewals of those very passports, creating a potential backlog. Why did it say 2016, 2017?
No, 2006, because they last like 10 years.
Oh.
And so once you get it, it's literally yours for 10 years. Then after that, it's time to renew. So what they're saying is that they had a bunch of people get them at once. So right now, all those people's passports are expiring. So now they're getting ready to have a bunch of people renew all at the same time.
Oh, so our passports will be good for 10 years?
They're good for 10 years.
Oh, shit. So we can leave this country anytime after this.
Come on. In Trump's America.
Good.
Y'all gonna mess around. I'm gonna be like, bumba clap, I never left. The rest of them bitches went back. I was here to stay.
Right before the nuclear bombs hit, we can get the hell out of here.
I know. Gonna be like, it is safety pin box. Y'all know I just became a member. Nobody went back.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I'm like, I'm not going back.
I hear you. Mm-mm. Well, anyway, y'all should renew it. They said because the numbers are going up with so many people renewing at the same time that it could take up to 6 months now.
Right.
So don't let it expire. Just go ahead and renew early.
Because once you got it, it's actually, once you have a passport, from my understanding, it's a lot smoother to renew.
Also, many countries are now more firmly enforcing requirements for 6 months validity on a U.S. passport.
Right.
Yet another, the hubbub surrounding the Real ID Act, which has led to confusion over when certain driver's licenses and other identity cards may not be suitable forms of identification at TSA, has also led to an increase in passport applications.
Mm-hmm.
Officials also told the Times they expect to issue more than 17 million new passports and renewals this year, which is 1.5 million more than issued in 2015. As of today, the State Department website is reporting passport processing times of approximately 6 weeks, an increase of some 4 weeks over the last year's return time. So that's why they told us 3 to 6 or 4 to 6. Expedited passports take about 3 weeks door to door, though they cost an extra $60 a process. The fee for a new adult passport is $135 and a renewal costs $110. So yeah, man, do what we did. Yeah. And make sure you can renew it if you got them already.
Yeah, because it's actually a luxury to get a passport. That's what some people don't talk about either.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a luxury.
Because, and they make it very difficult. And like I said, and in my opinion, it's going to come to a point where I tell people, if they're asking for their papers, they're going to ask for mine too, sooner or later.
Wow. Police say there's a number of fatalities after reports of an explosion at an Ariana Grande concert in northern England.
Oh, shit.
Police advise the public to avoid this is breaking news, the area of Manchester Arena Monday night. There were no immediate details of what happened in the concert by the American singer. Video from inside the arena show concert goers screaming as they made their way out amid a sea of pink balloons.
Oh, shit. What happened? I hope everybody's okay. You know, and her too.
Yeah, that's scary. Mm-hmm. Two states just introduced bills that make secretly removing a condom sexual assault.
Wonderful. Fuck them.
Because it is.
Right. Because it is.
Earlier this year, the trend of stealthing in which a man removes his condom without his partner's consent made its way around the internet. Luckily, two states, Wisconsin and California, have introduced bills labeling stealthing as sexual assault. Because that's exactly what it is, and call it a trend. Like it was just some fun new sexual position. Oh, this is a snarky article. All the kids are trying these days. It's dangerous for everyone. Condoms protect people from unwanted pregnancies or STDs. Removing one without consent puts people at risk. Wisconsin Rep. Melissa Sargent said Monday, when she introduced the bill, this is clearly a sexual crime, she added. This behavior is predatory and disturbing, and people should know we not only find it reprehensible, but we won't tolerate it. Ignoring it is simply not an option. So, yeah, good. Good, good, good. Every state should put this on the books.
Right.
Like, this is the kind of shit that, you know, for people that are like, not all men, this is the kind of shit that people need to get behind if you really on some, not all. Prove you not.
prove you not.
You know, support shit like this, man. All right. This is just a quick funny story, I guess. Oops, forgotten weed stash donated to Once Upon a Child in Maplewood.
Them kids getting ready to get high.
A donation of clothes to the Maplewood Once Upon a Child clothing store Friday evening was dope, literally. A customer dropped off a customer dropped off bags of clothes for consignment but never returned. When staff at the store discovered about 60 small bags of marijuana worth about $1,100, they called police.
Woo!
Now see, that's not cool. They gave y'all their clothes for free. The least y'all could have did was put that shit in the shoebox and waited for them to return and be like, man, you forgot your weed. Now they can't never come back.
No, they can't never come back.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that some shit?
Yeah, that's why you don't fill out the paper. They be like, you want, nah, nah, I don't want to write off of no taxes. I'm good.
Then the Maplewood police tweeted out, hashtag VRA, hey genius, Once Upon a Child thanks you for the clothing donation, but you forgot something in your pant pocket. Sucks to be you. Damn, who's the snarky ass person behind their social media?
No, it don't suck to me. I'm not in jail, so I'm good.
Then in Facebook, they said, if you accidentally donated 111 grams of marijuana along with your clothing earlier to a local store, please come to the PD so we can reunite you. We know you spent a lot of time dividing them into perfectly measured baggies and must be missing them. Boy, the police ain't had nothing better to do that day.
Mm-mm. That's somebody you never catch. They're going to take that L.
Yeah, you can't come in for that.
My bouncer's going, my manager's going to whip my ass for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm good.
All right, let's go to some fucking with black people, guys, okay? We've been doing a lot of things, talking about a lot of different issues, and I think we skipped this yesterday, so we might as well get into it today. Here we go.
We're just fucking with black people.
Yep. Trying to play the game that we all hate to play. God, I'm tired. Well, we fuck with black people. And I'm fucking up the song. Oh, Jesus. I gotta get some sleep after this. Anyway, y'all know the game. 0 to 100, intervals of 25. How much we feel fucked with as black people. I'm starting on 100 already. Jesus Christ.
You need some coffee.
It's too late.
You sure? I can get you some. It don't take about a minute. No, it'll
take 5 minutes. It's too late,
Karen. It don't take five. I promise it don't.
It will.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it will. Let's just make it through the show, okay? Last thing I need is caffeine. Then I'm gonna be up all night. This way, maybe I can just watch Supergirl and slide into a coma. A Florida teen claims her private school principal labeled her natural afro a distraction.
Oh, shit.
And told her it needed to be fixed and put in a style or she risked being expelled. What did I tell y'all? It's that time of the year. Right? End of the school years. I don't know what it is. It's just that time of the year.
Yeah, they always pop up.
Black families getting kicked out of graduation for being too loud and clapping. And black and brown kids, and especially girls, getting fucked with over the dress code. It's like motherfucking clockwork every end of the year. And of course, the prom dresses. We gonna have that too. She was walking around, her prom dress was a little too low cut. You can see a little titty. Gotta kick out.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
A Florida teen has hit out at her private school principal after he told her that her natural afro was a distraction to fellow students and must be fixed. Genesis Johnson, 17, was informed by Lynn Burgess, assistant principal at North Florida Christian in Tallahassee, that her full natural hair was not neat and needs to be put in a style.
But that's just how my hair grow, and who determines what that is?
It is fixed, she told WCTV of his demands.
Right.
It
is fixed.
Insisting that her natural hair already meets those criteria. Still, if she does not meet the demands of the North Florida Christian Administration, she risks losing her enrollment at the private high school. Well, I better get my motherfucking money back. I know that much.
Come on.
Kick my kid out of school. I'm going to come up there and kick something, too. The demand from the school came as a surprise to the Florida teenager, particularly as she's been wearing her hair in Afro style on and off since the 7th grade and daily for the last 7 months. So just one day they decided today is the day.
She been on somebody's list.
While Johnson admitted to her hair being large, she assured WCTV that she always sits in the back of the class so as not to obstruct anyone's view. She added that the uproar over her loss began several weeks ago when a teacher asked her, how long are you rocking that hairstyle? The teacher's inquiry then prompted other students to ask Johnson about styling and upkeep of her afro. They probably wanted to touch it. Just 2 days
later. She probably said, don't touch my shit.
Yeah, she at a private school. You know, she might be the only one.
Come on.
Just 2 days later, Johnson was called into the assistant principal's office and informed her hair went against school policy. In her criticism of Johnson's hairstyle, the assistant principal pointed to the North Florida Christian School handbook, which states, no faddish or extreme hairstyles and hair should be neat and clean at all times. The administration will make a decision on any questionable hairstyles. The extensive handbook later specifies for young men in particular that no fad haircuts are allowed. What does that mean? Sorry.
Right. My hair grows like this. What the fuck?
What? Your natural hair is a fad, dog. The way it comes out of your head is a fad, according to her. This includes, but is not limited to, mohawks, designs cutting the hair, color tips, or afros that, if stretched, would reach beyond the eyebrows or the collar. Interestingly, an archived version of the student handbook from 2014-2015 year makes no mention of afro hairstyles.
Right.
Low-key, man, I know this is gonna sound conspiratorial, guys. I don't mean to be that way, but fuck it. A lot of this shit is because of Beyonce and Black Lives Matter and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of black women becoming more and more outspoken and proud in their natural hair.
Right.
It's like a whole movement. You see little girls rocking it now.
Right.
Like, it's just a big ass wave
and
of
it
people.
It makes them afraid.
And I think they just, I don't even care about their fear. I don't even know if they're afraid, Karen. It's just, well, now we need to police that too.
Right.
We didn't give a fuck before, but now that y'all doing this, we gotta interfere somehow. We can't have you out here looking radiant and smiling and being happy and proud of your hair and yourself. It look a little, it's something off with it. I'm gonna need you to conform to our standards. You know, that's that bullshit, man. Cause y'all didn't even care 2 years ago. What happened between 2014 and 2017? Right? Mike Brown getting killed in the street. People marching in the street, people talking about Black Lives Matter, people talking about Black Pride, Beyonce celebrating it, Solange celebrating it, women celebrating their natural black women, stepping up and leading these movements, celebrating their natural black ass selves. You goddamn right they got a problem with it. You goddamn right they did. Because they didn't feel threatened by it 3 years ago. It wasn't threatening. It wasn't even in a book 3 years ago. It's threatening now for some reason. Kid might be woke. These are the signs. These are the signs. Fuck out of here. You might say that it didn't fit the handbook, Lisa told WCTV, but I saw and what she heard is a woman telling her that she's not pretty and her hair does fit society.
Afro is beautiful too.
I know, right?
I mean, I'm gonna look like a wig. It's beautiful.
The school has yet to respond to requests for comment. North Florida Christian is not the only school's hair-related policies that cause uproar. And then they get into some other ones where they did the same shit. Zero to 100.
Oh, yeah, 100.
100 for me as well.
Yes, and I guess what cues me is that, why is it left to white people for the interpretation of what is considered organized and upkept and neat and all that stuff when it comes to black hair? Y'all don't know fucking thing about it.
Right. They don't even know what the hair is like. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to hear white people talk. I barely know that much about black hair. My mom did hair and I barely know that much about it. Like, I hate to hear people talk about it when they don't know what the fuck they talking about. Oh, it's dirty. Look at those dirty dreadlocks. You don't even know what the fuck. Are you stupid? Think everybody, all these black people just walking around with dirty ass hair? No, it's not like your hair. You don't understand.
Right.
And it's okay to not understand, but if you don't understand, it's also okay to shut the fuck up. You just don't know what you're talking about. It happens all the time. You don't have to have an opinion on somebody else's appearance when you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, if you never had sex with somebody that got their hair like that, how the fuck would you know if it was dirty or not anyway? You ain't been that close on them. You never smelled their hair. If you, anyway.
Yeah, it makes you mad, because, and I think a lot of times, truth be told, for a lot of white people, black people's hair, particularly in this natural format, they don't understand it, because one day you could come in and it could be tight to your hair. The next day you come in, you could blow it out. The next day you come in, you can put in twists. The next thing you come in, you can put in locks. Like, you can do so much shit with our hair. And because they don't understand or comprehend it, they just assume that if it's not flowing like theirs, that it's quote unquote unkept.
Right. Just get you some Shea Moisture and be okay, white people, okay?
Come on.
They already let you in the door. Go to Target, get you some Shea Moisture, and then you can talk about your natural hair journey as well, okay? But you don't have to walk in and talk over the black people's natural hair as it's going on, okay? But yeah, I just think a lot of people, this is a new thing to police.
Yes.
Because it just wasn't as prominent as it is now. Now mm-hmm. I look around and it's just like, you know, and for the record, this is not me expressing the preference. I'm not telling anybody how to wear their hair. I don't, like, do you, if you feel fine and beautiful, however the fuck you are, and you're confident in your looks, that's all that matters, man. And I hope everybody can get to that kind of, like, self-love and actualization, because that's very rare, and especially very rare in women, and especially very rare in black women. So whatever the fucking process is, I'm down with you. Good luck. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. That being said, it is something about seeing black women with natural hair where you just, like, it's sad, but their bodies are so policed that it's revolutionized. Like, you're now a revolutionary because you're radical, because you dare to say, oh, I'm good enough as I am. Like,
this, yeah, ain't nothing wrong with my hair. My hair's not dirty.
Right.
My hair don't stink.
Right. Like, it's sad that it's that way.
If I would have cleaned it than yours.
It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. But it's sad that it's that way, that, you know, I do get a little, you know, like, look at that. Like, that's dope. Look at all these little girls, they natural hair. That's dope. Like, just not because if they all had their hair laid, fried, dyed, and laid to the side, I'd be like, what the hell? Like, I don't care. It's just something about the fact that they didn't have to feel that type of shame, because literally it's a war going on. They're trying to kick people out of school. They trying to, you know, what are they gonna do to this girl? She just want to wear her fro. You know what I mean? Like, it's not right that happens, and it, so it makes it revolutionary that you would have a fro, though it shouldn't be revolutionary. So yeah, I celebrate it while also saying, like, it's totally everybody's choice. But yeah, I absolutely celebrate it, because I know we need that motherfucking support for people, because they going through it just the way they hair, just the natural way it comes out their head.
Yeah, and, you know, it depends on how old you are. It's a lot more acceptable, particularly in a workplace, than it used to be. You're talking about 10, maybe 5 to 10 years ago, you had to have your hair relaxed. You had any job in corporate America, you better not come in there with your goddamn natural hair.
In college, I remember in college them being like, nah, you can't do that. Oh, you gotta cut that shit off. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. You know, I'm not saying it's not better yet or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But some of this shit, though, it's like, enough black women went, I don't give a fuck. And now it's nothing you can say.
Right. And I think that makes them mad, because there's nothing worse than telling a white person, particularly a white person in power, that I don't give a fuck about your feelings or your rules.
White supremacist Sean Urbanski, charged with murder in stabbing death of black Bowie State student Richard Collins III. Sean Christopher Urbanski, 22, has been charged with first and second degree murder in the stabbing death of Bowie State University student Richard Collins III, 23, and the FBI is investigating whether the killing was a hate crime. Urbanski is a member of the white supremacist Facebook group Alt-Reich Nation. So yeah, it is a hate crime. What the fuck is the investigation? That should have been open shut case.
Come on.
The completely random and unprovoked attack took place on the University of Maryland's campus around 3 a.m. Saturday morning near a bus stop. Collins was rushed to a local hospital with a stab wound in his chest. He was later pronounced dead. Court documents obtained by the News 4 say Collins was waiting for the university shuttle bus with his friends when they realized the shuttle bus had stopped running for the night. The three decided to call an Uber, and they were waiting for one to arrive when they heard Urbanski screaming nearby. Collins and his friends watched Urbanski as he approached them. Urbanski said, step left if you know what's best for you. Collins said no as Urbanski continued to approach. One of Collins' friends noticed Urbanski was holding a knife with a 3 to 4 inch silver blade as the suspect stabbed Collins once in the chest area. The friend ran towards Baltimore Avenue as she called 911 and asked the Uber driver to call 911. Other witnesses stayed with Collins and tried to help him until police and medics arrived. Urbanski, who was allegedly intoxicated with alcohol or hate, was still sitting about 50 feet away from where he stabbed Collins when authorities arrived. He was taken into custody at the University of Maryland's Police Department. It never gets any worse than this, University of Maryland Police Chief David Mitchell said at a news conference Saturday afternoon. When I sat with the victim's father, who was a military veteran, and his pastor, and we shed tears together, I can tell you it rips your heart out. Mitchell said that he is also investigating the Alt-Right Nation on Facebook, the group where Urbanski was a member. When I look at the information that's contained on that website, suffice it to say it's despicable, and it shows extreme bias against women, Latinos, persons of Jewish faith, and especially African Americans. These radicalized white supremacists are a danger to us all. That's from the article, not from the chief.
Okay.
We are looking forward to the quickest investigation as possible, said Artie Lee Davis, Bowie State's vice president for student affairs. Look, all I gotta say about this, how I'm supposed to not live in terror? Like, this ain't terrorism? Cause y'all know if he would have been a Muslim person or Islamic extremist or any type of brown person from the Middle East, and they would have stabbed some random white person on the side of the street, fucking Trump would be ready to nuke someplace. But white people do shit like this. I feel like every month I'm reading another story, some random white dude deciding his economic anxiety done reached his limit. His cultural anxiety done reached his limit. Now he gotta go kill some random unsuspecting black person for no fucking reason, dog. And I'm not supposed to be afraid. I'm not supposed to be on my guard. I'm not supposed to stay ready for some shit to go down. Like, I don't. Anyway, 100 for me, man. 100. Karen? 100. Oh, okay. All right. She's just hanging out there, guys. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening, and I, you know, it's one of the things we just get upset. It's 100.
Playwright's estate tells Portland producer he can't cast a black actor. The estate, which means that man is dead, so it ain't his decision, it's his family.
They racist.
The estate of the late playwright Edward Albee has denied a Portland producer the rights to a play in a dispute over casting and race. Michael Streeter, who's independently funded and staged several productions over the years, was planning the production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf with the Completed Works Project. Albee's modern classic is a tale of two married couples in a college town, George and Martha, who are in a later middle age, and a much younger up-and-coming Nick and Honey. Their boozy dinner party devolves into a nightmare of anxiety and bile as deeply buried wounds and social hostilities boil over. Among the cast was actor Damian Geeter in the role of Nick. Geeter is African-American. Albee's script indicates the character has blonde hair and blue eyes. Streeter says he intended from the beginning to undertake the show with the color-conscious casting, with an eye to taking a 55-year-old play and giving it a new version. I think it adds depth to the play. The play is set in 1962. The character is ambitious and up and coming. It takes a lot of abuse in order to maintain his position. I think that's emblematic of what was happening to the African-American community in 1962. Any concerns from the estate he felt could be worked out. Over the weekend, he submitted headshots to Albee's licensing agent. They called me Monday morning. I made my argument. They made theirs. As the widest cast with a white, why this should be cast with a white actor, I disagreed. The end of the conversation was, we'll allow you to have the rights to the play if you cast the right actor, I refuse. So they said no. He said, I was angry. Who wants to be told they can't do a show because they're black? This is not 1962, it's 2017.
Right.
A representative of Albee's estate, Sam Rudy, points out that Streeter knew the restrictions before Geeter was cast. The estate, Rudy says, has and will consider proposals of non-traditional casting, but Albee was clear during his lifetime that he intended the role of Nick for a white actor. Rudy says the conversation has become about the issues of non-traditional casting, which are important, very, very important, and I support them personally. But he continues, I think it's important to remind people, particularly theater artists, that playwrights have rights. They have legal rights to have advertised a production for which they have not received the rights. To cast it with the knowledge of how this contractually needs to take place, that's an issue too for artists. And people who don't want to adhere to artists' rights are being disrespectful, are in violation, are being unprofessional. Albie was outspoken in his lifetime about which roles he thought he could and could not be approached with color conscious casting. The playwright said mixed race marriages would not have gone unacknowledged in the play's 1962 setting, and therefore was unwilling to permit it in most cases. But the state stance, says actor Damien Geeter, opens the gate on a wider problem. The state, speaking factually, they can do whatever they want, Geeter said. The bigger question is where this leaves people of color getting roles. We don't want to play slaves and mammies our whole lives, typecast in these ways. We want to play parts like a white person would play. He points to the mammoth success of Broadway's Hamilton, a show in which color-conscious casting was used to tremendous effect to reimagine the story of the U.S. founders. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival staged in a 2002 production in which the role of Martha was played by a black actress, Andrea Fry. With the permission of the Albee's estate, Rudy declined to comment on considerations for other productions. So, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100. They racist.
Yeah, I just feel like they racist. He dead, man.
Right.
But I know it's his right, and he's an artist and all that shit, and it was important to him. But I don't know, man. Just feel like some of that.
Get the fuck out of here, because a lot of times you make money too. Like, you right. make money too.
Right. Agreed. GOP lawmaker, lynch anyone who takes down Confederate monuments. That feels, does he have no sense of irony, or like, how do you come to that conclusion? Don't you know what, how you gonna be like, listen, that's just pride, not hate. It's heritage. It's not about racism. And you, and as far as I'm concerned, I'll lynch anybody that disagrees. What is wrong with white people, man? Oh boy. Mm-mm-mm. When the devil made you, he broke the mold.
Oh Lord.
After condemnation from members of his own party, a Republican member of Mississippi, y'all don't know that line from Don't Be a Menace? Mm-hmm. When the devil made you, he broke the mold. Anyway, Republican member of the Mississippi House of Representatives apologized Monday for calling Mm-mm. for the lynching.
Mm-mm.
He apologized. Listen, I don't want to, shark house fire starter, but I gotta say, he hit that apology. that should be a thing. I don't know if it is, Mm-mm. but that apology, that should be a fucking thing, because I swear to God, you can time your watch by, they say something that you unforgivable, unfucking forgivable, and then a couple days later they hit that apology with, hey, I'm sorry, y'all. Nigga.
You meant that shit. Fuck you. And if I was there, I'd be sure your ass never won again. Fuck you.
Oh my God. They are good for that one, ain't they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you meant that bullshit, dog.
My bad, y'all. I just, boy, is there mm-hmm. egg on my face. I tell you.
Because people went off on social media, and there's a lot of white people that's against this too. I don't know why people think all white people out here calling folks niggas and spinks and spooks and all this shit. No, it's okay with what you saying.
There's a lot of white people want to forget this shit too and take that shit down and be part of the solution, man.
Right, they ain't trying to be part of the problem. They gonna, y'all unshamed us long enough, and then here you come with that ignorant shit.
Yeah, he said, the destruction of these monuments erected in the love and memory of our family and fellow Southern, oh, I'm sorry. The destruction of these monuments erected in the love and memory of our family and fellow Southern Americans is both heinous and horrific. If the, and I use this term extremely loosely, leadership of Louisiana wishes to, in a Nazi-ish fashion, burn books or destroy historical monuments of our history, they should be lynched. Let it be known, I will do all in my power to prevent this from happening in our state. That's what he wrote on,
ended with a quill.
Right. Regards, Carl Oliver. The message drew likes from two of Oliver's fellow Republican lawmakers.
Oh, you got to go too. Fuck you.
Are they apologizing?
No.
We get an apology from them? John Reed and Doug McCloud. Oliver's post came a day after the statue of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee was removed from New Orleans. It was the city's fourth Confederate memorial to be dismantled in recent days. On Monday, following press scrutiny and criticism from members of his own party, Oliver removed the post and issued a statement apologizing for his remarks. I, first and foremost, wish to extend this apology for any embarrassment I have caused to both my colleagues and fellow Mississippians. In an effort to express my passion for preserving all historical monuments, I acknowledge the word lynched was wrong. I'm very sorry. It is in no way ever an appropriate term. I deeply regret that I chose this word, and I do not condone the actions I reference, nor do I believe them in my heart. I freely admit my choice of words was horribly wrong. I humbly ask your forgiveness. With all sincerity, Carl Oliver, 4th Regiment of the Civil of the Confederate Soldiers. I had a meal of hard tack today and washed my clothes with quarter soap.
I don't even know. I send my love to my wife.
We ate pork sides. Y'all gotta watch the Civil War documentary.
Oh, it's the best.
It feel like they just be making shit up. I don't even know those things. I think I just made two of those things up. I don't think quarter soap or pork sides is real, but
who knows?
Yeah. We ate hard tack today. I'm like, what is that?
I have no idea. I don't want it.
I thank you for the rations of a jar of mustard. It went really well with the pumpernickel bread that we were able to salvage off of the slaves. At any rate, fuck this nigga. 100.
100.
A motherfucking 100. I wish this. I just love these monuments so much. You guys know how it is. You ever see a monument? You just be like, oh, I love it so much. We gotta preserve all the history. Did you think that way when the Saddam fucking statue got taken down in Iraq? I guarantee you this motherfucker wasn't sitting around like, no, the history! No! These fucking slave-owning, slave-defending motherfuckers need to go. I don't give a fuck. This country is like a goddamn... if y'all could be black for one day, just one day, y'all would blow your motherfucking brains out.
Come on, like, you just don't understand. And people go, y'all not racist, fuck you. Black people drive on fucking roads after the Confederacy. You go to schools and buildings and libraries, like, in fucking everywhere. You drive down roads and streets and highways and neighborhoods. Fuck you.
Right. Oh my god, this is that crazy. Let's go to the next segment. We'll be right back, guys. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
god.
And all people want to do is just take the shit down, and you go no.
Right.
It's like, bitch, do you want to move on or not?
Ridiculous, man. They be like, slavery was the past. Well, why are the fucking schools still named after these motherfuckers?
Come on.
You know what I mean? Like, how the fuck I'm supposed to get over slavery and you can't get over them taking down the monument for slavery? Like, I'm supposed to get over slavery? I'm supposed to get over racism? I'm supposed to get over the history? But your ass can't even get over they took down Robert E. Lee High School, like his name off the fucking high school? Y'all can't get over a couple of statues coming down, but I'm supposed to get over the fact that y'all killed my great-great-grandmother and shit? Fuck you. Fuck you, man. Are you serious? Sometimes you can just look at us and be like, we are a living reminder of what the fuck y'all have done to us.
Right, and that's why they try their best to terminate brown people, because brown people...
But not the statues.
Not statues, not statues. Because the thing about brown people remind them of the sins of slavery.
Right.
Indian reminds them of the Trail of Tears. Native American, I'm sorry, right. Remind them of what they did to the people doing the Trail of Tears. Like, this shit is real. And so it's one of the things where it's like, we gonna do everything we can to try to stump to that. But what you fail to realize is that we keep coming back. we're not gonna die, you can't stuff us out, so you might as well just say okay. And this is why they fight against diversity, because the thing about diversity isn't washing whiteness. Diversity is reminding white people that they are not the center of the universe.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. But yeah, speaking of things that white people do that we wish we could forget.
Okay.
It's time for white people news, guys. I know y'all been looking forward to this all day.
Okay.
Now's my turn to wreck this. Fellas approaching half step, but ain't hurt half of it yet. And I bet you're not a fucking vet. So when you see me on the reel, forming like Voltron, remember I got deep like a Navy SEAL. On a nigga who tried to run game on a nigga. Fuck wild with the trigger. Shame on a nigga who tried to run game on a nigga. I'll fuck your ass up. Yo. With that old loco style for my vocals, couldn't peep it with a pair of bifocals. I'm no joker, play me as a joker, be on you like a house on fire, smoke you, be acting like the gangs anyway, be like, warriors, come out and play, yeah, dirty, I get in the shit, I let it out like diarrhea, got burnt once, but that was only gonorrhea, dirty, I keep shit stains in my drawer so I can get fizzle funky for you, murder, taste the flame of the Wu-Tang, wow, here comes the tiger bus crane, ow, be like, why with my style, punk, you play me chump, you get jumped. Boo is coming through at a DD near you and get fucked like a shoe.
I just want to fucking kabong his ass over the motherfucking head with that guitar.
Ha ha!
Must be out of his motherfucking mind.
At least he was true to the lyrics.
This nigga. Oh my god. And he didn't even do the voices. If you're gonna do Wu-Tang, you gotta do it. Everybody got a different voice.
Yeah, they do.
And why could I understand all your old Dirty Bastard lyrics? That is not how ODB rap. Took all the soul out of it. Ugh, you de-sold it.
Yeah! De-sold it.
That's y'all, man. Speaking of horrible things white people have done in this country, other than take our music and whitewash it, disruptive passenger in a Trump campaign hat, Make America Great Again, of course, escorted off a United Airlines flight from Shanghai to Newark because he tried to steal somebody's seat.
What, he didn't pay for it?
He just tried to take somebody else's seat, then the one he got, I guess. He described as elderly. He was asked to depart the flight by local law enforcement. It came with while the plane was grounded at the Shanghai Pudong International Airport. Officials were forced to deplane the Newark bound flight to deal with the disruption. He was described as increasingly disruptive. I don't know. It's like that hat is like the same thing that Yellow Jacket's coloring is. Like, this motherfucker dangerous.
That's a warning.
Wearing his hat, something wrong with him.
Right.
He eventually left the plane of his own accord. Cell phone video shows that while being escorted from the plane, passengers chanted, "Lock him up." Yes! Yes, petty passengers. That's what I'm talking about. Now
fuck him.
Lock him up.
Right. Lock him
up. That's so good.
Fuck him. Lock him up.
I don't think y'all really appreciate the motherfucking pettiness of that. I don't think y'all really truly understand.
Right, that's the best.
These people didn't even know each other, and they used a chant that they used about Hillary on his ass.
Right.
But yeah.
Somebody was like, fuck you, old man.
Oh my God.
But they ain't drag him off the plane with his shirt up by his belly button.
Trying to take a passenger seat and refuse to move. I'm sitting here. Man, get the fuck out of my chair, because. Right.
I guarantee you, you probably sitting in more expensive seat than you probably purchased.
Billy Bush is back in the news. He did an interview trying to make that comeback, y'all. And he did Karen's favorite thing. He did your move, Karen.
What's my move?
He said his disgusted daughter, 15, was in tears after hearing the Pussygate tape while revealing he walked on hot coals and beat a pillow with a bat to bash his negative patterns on self-help journey. That's right, Karen. His daughter cried, so that's how he knew he was wrong.
Fuck out of here.
I bet you his mama raised him better than this too.
I bet you she did.
And I know his wife done told him.
Mm-hmm. And now his girlfriend said the same.
Mm-hmm. His co-worker women, because it couldn't be about just him needing to be better.
Yeah, then now all of a sudden you decide to listen to.
Yeah, he said some shit like, I wish I had the strength of character to tell Donald Trump, you know, no, or whatever the fuck it was.
Mm-hmm. Only reason why you care because it became a thing, you lost your job.
Right. What a cuck. Plus I remember him fucking telling old girl to hug him, like to hug Donald Trump. You didn't have to go that far. It wasn't a strength of character thing. You went further than even just being like, listen, every single human being in the world, and I don't give a fuck who you are, how woke you think you are, whatever, every single human being on this earth has had that moment where somebody was being obnoxious, rude, or fucking offensive, and instead of fighting the good fight, y'all decided I just am going to ignore this nigga, or just go, okay, whatever.
Cause it wasn't worth it.
I'm not getting into a fucking debate with a guy I gotta be around for 4 minutes. I'm not right. doing it today. Everybody's done it. Everybody's done it. And if they recorded it happening, your ass, everybody would understand. If they recorded it happening, if they said, yo, I saw you were hanging out with this dude and he said, bitches be tripping. And you didn't even say, listen, brother, women ain't bitches. You don't need to call them that. Like, everybody would be like, yes, shit like that happen. You can't be fucking fighting that fight every fucking time you hear you die of exhaustion.
Yeah, you would.
Here's the problem. That ain't what you did, Billy. You didn't even just go, yeah, 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 whatever. Your ass is out there like, yeah, look at the gams on that. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll grab that pole. You get up, you be grabbing that pussy. Hey, check this out. I'm going to make a hug you, man. Oh, yeah. Hey, come here and hug him. Co-worker. I'm supposed to respect.
Right.
Fuck out of here, man. Try to erase it to just some, I made a mistake. You a grown ass man. Fuck out of here. What kind of control this dude got over you? He just a dude.
That's it.
You are on that shit too. And until you admit that, man, you dirty as fuck. You gotta come out and be like, man, I was on that shit too, dog. Like, you know, I always
talk. People don't know how to apologize.
Yeah, like he got caught. See, this is the shit I be talking about, by the way. When I be like, I'm sick of black men stepping up to take the bullet on these programs where they be like, you know, I'm gonna say the most ignorant shit on the air and then end up getting fired or getting in trouble, or everybody won't argue and then people gonna get mad that a black man said it, and we gotta defend him because he black, because white people would say, like, we do all that shit. And the whole time, I don't think white men are better than us. They just say the shit behind closed doors. If it wouldn't have been for this off mic shit getting taped, we would all be looking at Billy Bush on air right now.
We sure would.
And he would still think and talk this way. Like, he ain't no better than us. They just got a level of savvy from having these positions for longer than we have,
right?
And historically being allowed to have these positions, that they just kind of know how to navigate it while having the same fucked up point of view as many of the men who end up saying stupid shit and getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at it that way, and it's fucking this, like, this all, this is just proof. It's just proof. They ain't shit either, man. Fuck them and fuck him, dog. I don't care about your daughter. Stop trying to throw her out here like we supposed to act like that means something.
I don't give a fuck about your daughter. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Quit using other women and your children to beat other people upside the head, particularly other women.
He says Bush said he told his daughter during the phone call, "That was dad in a bad moment a long time ago. You know me, I'm really sorry that you had to hear and see that. I love you." Bush said his teenager needed to hear that and he needed to say it to her. His youngest daughter, 14-year-old Lily, decided never to watch the tape, while his oldest, 18-year-old Josie, was instinctively protective of him. "My 18-year-old is more of a fighter. She was like, all right, who do I need to take out?" Yeah, this is stupid. Look, man, I don't care how you, I really don't. Your daughter, throwing your daughters in here is just like a, I know women too and I care about them. Look, man, all I know is you was cool with the pussy grabbing shit, dog. And you could have said something you didn't. End the story. Unless you about to just apologize and be like, I shouldn't have did that and I learned my lesson and it'll never happen again. That's all you need to say. It's really the only thing you can say.
Because your daughters didn't do it.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to get forgiven or not. And we not looking at your daughters to forgive or not forgive you. You fucking feed them every day.
Come on.
Of course they like you. That's stupid. My daughters and wife cool with me. Okay. Fuck that got to do with this though.
Right.
Why should I ever watch you on TV again? So yeah. And I'm sure they already ready to forgive them. It don't even matter what I think. They gonna give him that job back and it's gonna act like nothing ever happened.
And the sad part, he's not a smart, savvy white man, because you know what you ought to do, start your own podcast, build your own brand from the ground up.
They gonna give him his job back and they gonna apply as soon as he walks on the fucking watch. Standing ovation, like he overcame some hurdle when he didn't do shit but wait it out. That's how it works. Anyway, white people news. Ja Rule and his business partner are under FBI investigation over that goddamn fire festival.
Woo!
What? Of all the places we should be expending our FBI resources in the time of crisis in America.
Rich white folks lost money. It is an emergency. Rich white folks lost their money and got scammed. It is an emergency. But you let some niggas be somewhere they don't have no clean water. Fuck them niggas.
Trump is somewhere hanging out with Putin right now by the pool, and y'all niggas like, we need to get Ja Rule though. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to be held accountable for all these white children that went out there and was traumatized with this cheese on some rusted rye bread.
We gotta take him down. He's the number one target in America, okay? He's corrupting the white youth, and
there were white tears shed, and you can't have white, particularly white women, shedding tears.
They are
our government will kill people when white women cry.
Ja Rule and his business partner Billy McFarland, who we never say his name in these articles, in the headlines, they always say Ja Rule and then just a named business partner. They're under investigation by the FBI for wire fraud, mail and securities fraud. What
God
the fuck?
Damn, they were like, oh, y'all gonna pay for this.
Listen, I'm not trying to stereotype Ja Rule. I don't know this man. I you know, it's just no way to say this without sounding fucked up, but this nigga ain't doing no motherfucking wire security fraud, man. Mm-mm. Ja Rule ain't, what you think he is, an acting role where he played like a hacker in that Steven Seagal movie? Like, come on, man. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they just
Ja Rule don't know shit about no motherfucking security fraud.
They trumping up the charges because whatever it is, they want to be sure that they found guilty of something.
Yeah, Ja Rule ain't sitting around. Ja Rule sitting around a keyboard typing some shit up, man. Get the fuck out of here. Mm-mm. White people, y'all amazing for this. Y'all are fucked up for this one, boy. I tell you that. Ooh. Oh, it's just one of those articles with the music, but yeah, anyway, they fuck it, the FBI, y'all,
they want somebody to be held accountable.
The federal booby inspectors all up on them. A former neo-Nazi turned Muslim convert shot dead two of his friends who shared his old neo-Nazi beliefs because they continue to disrespect his new religion. What about the cheese in Wisconsin?
What about it, dog? Is it tasty?
I'm so sick of this white on white nationalist violence.
Come on, does it got holes in it? What about that cheese?
This alt-right on alt-right violence must stop.
It got to stop.
How are the Negroes and the mud people and the Jews gonna respect you when you're out here killing each other in these streets?
Come on.
Come on, I'm supposed to...
How you supposed to treat you with respect?
Pull your swastika up. You're walking around with your swastika slagging and killing each other in the street over what?
pull your khakis up.
Mm-hmm. Pull your white shoestrings tight.
Come on.
On your black boots.
Out here killing each other over stepping on each other penny loafers. Come on now.
He got mad because they was clowning them. They used to be boys. By the way, don't think I missed the connection. He became a quote unquote terrorist, right? A Muslim terrorist. I'm holding up quotes. Y'all can't see it on the audio. But he used to be a white nationalist. Why is only one of those things considered a terrorist in America?
Right.
Why is only one of those things considered a terrorist, guys? Just read about a dude who stabbed somebody to death today. Why is only one of those dudes a terrorist? I don't understand. He white? Why did it take him believing in some Muslim shit? It was like, this nigga might be a terrorist. I'm just saying. Anyway, a man arrested for allegedly killing two of his former friends did so because they were neo-Nazis who disrespected his recent conversion to Islam. In all fairness, that is a pretty extreme shift, buddy. I mean, come on. Devin Arthur told the Tampa Police Department he killed Jeremy Himmelman and Andrew Wunschuk, because they disrespected his new religion. The Tampa Bay Times reports a police document states the 18-year-old carried out the killings because he wanted to bring attention to widespread anti-Islam sentiments. The report states Arthur was also angry with the U.S. for bombing Muslim countries around the world. How do you make that switch, dog? He really went from kill them brown people to, actually, this socialism thing ain't too bad. Like, I don't even know, what happened? Did you just log into the wrong site by accident?
Huh? And decide to stay?
Good grief. Yeah, he says, I had to do it. According to police document, this wouldn't have had to happen if your country didn't bomb my country. You not from there, bro. He just switched sides on him. He was arrested after a standoff with police at a nearby smoke shop. He was probably high. Where Arthur held two customers and an employee hostage with a semi-automatic pistol for a short time. The 18-year-old bragged about killing his roommates and blasting their heads, he said, while he had the hostages. He was also asked by police if anyone was hurt, to which he responded, the people in the apartment, but they aren't hurt, they're dead. He then allegedly said, Allah Muhammad, as he was... That's not even what you're supposed to say, dude. I'm not Muslim, and I know
it's that don't sound right.
Allah Muhammad, dude. Did you even read? You must have skimmed the Muslim Islamist extremist. Mm-mm. Like you, this like the. You know what he did? He watched the episode 24, and he was like, "That's what them terrorists do." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "That's all I got to learn."
No, that's not where you get your background from.
Like, hey, dog, that's not the. You need to watch like three more seasons of Homeland
before you get it right.
Do your best impersonation of a terrorist, because that's horrible. You ain't even fucked up. You didn't get the words right. Allah Muhammad, are you serious, dude? Oh man, it's supposed to, ain't it like Aluwa Akwa? Ain't you supposed to say that? Arthur then took police to the apartment where the two bodies were found. They had gunshot wounds to the head and chest. The Times reported that. The police document explained why Arthur killed the two men. Prior to the incident, he stated he had been privy to neo-Nazi internet sites threatening to kill people, and he had developed the thinking that he should take some of the neo-Nazis with him. They also found another roommate, Brandon Russell, crying at the apartment. Bitch. Russell was wearing his military uniform, according to the Times, as he had just returned from National Guard duties. Huh. So you're saying people in the National Guard, some of them might be white supremacists. That's what I'm picking up. If you're laying down what I'm picking up, I think you just kind of, without saying so, admitted that if he wasn't, he was roommates with two white supremacists and had just returned from the National fucking Guard, which is sent often to places where there's civil unrest. But I'm supposed to trust, man, woo, white people got me hot today, boy. This ain't even the good white people news. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know what's happening. I don't even know what's happening right now.
You're giving everybody 100.
Right. I feel like this is long ass fucking with black people.
Right.
During the search of the apartment, investigators found a cooler full of white cake lake explosives. Explosive precursors, including potassium chlorate, potassium nitrate, nitrate, methane, and more than a pound of ammonium nitrate in a package addressed to Russell. empty cases that could potentially be used as a bomb making was also found. When police searched Russell's room, they found white supremacists and neo-Nazi materials, as well as framed photographs of Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. So even the people they found that he killed had materials to go like blow some shit up. Now I wonder what them white supremacists are gonna blow up, you know, since this guy's the terrorist. Sound more like a hero, but since this guy's the terrorist, you know, god damn it, what is the world? This, you know, this just like that Charlamagne Whitlock beef where I'm just like, I can't root for none of y'all, everybody's fucked up. Like, I want to co-sign it, but damn, y'all, everybody done some fuck shit. I can't give nobody props. When asked what the explosives were for, Russell reportedly said he was using them in 2013 while part of a science club at college that launched homemade rockets and balloons. Yeah, okay. Okay, buddy. 2013 science project, you still got the materials? FBI agent Timothy A. Swanson dismissed the claim in a report. Based on my training experience, HMTD is too energetic and volatile for these types of uses. He has since been charged with possessing an unregistered destructive device and unlawful storage of explosive material. Arthur is facing 2 counts of first degree murder, 2 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of armed kidnapping, and he remains jailed without bond. God damn. Ooh, that white on white violence. That was a hell of a story right there. That's like an episode of Law and Order. For real, I'm for real. We get this dude for having hostages, find out he murdered his friend because he's a fucking Muslim extremist now, even though he don't know the right words to say. And then his friends are dead and they white supremacists, and then his one friend just returned from the fucking National Guard.
You recap the whole 30 minute segment,
right? He a white supremacist and he got explosives in the fucking house. That's a Law and Order episode for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that is ridiculous. That's sick. What is wrong with people, man? All right. I don't even know what to tell y'all. I'm tired. I don't want to do this no more. Okay. There's other good white people news we should have been talking about, and I didn't even get to it. I'm just tired and I'm ready to go home and watch Supergirl. I got y'all's premium stuff up. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be energized, refreshed. We're going to get in there. We're just going to get some jokes. We're going to have some fun. We're going to do some guest race. We're going to talk about Alexander Daddario. We're going to talk about, ooh, Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow.
You know I'm out the loop. Okay.
And her snow tepping. We're going to do it all tomorrow, guys, but we're not going to do it tonight. So I'm fucking tired, man. Tired and mad. I'm angry. I don't think I have it in me, guys. I'm sorry. Let's do some sore ratchetness and we can get out of here. You guys go enjoy your night. White people have exhausted me today.
Oh, that took you out.
What's wrong with y'all, man? What's wrong with y'all?
What's wrong with you?
You niggas are crazy.
You niggas is crazy.
Good grief.
I love that clip.
Fucking exhausted me, man. Thought I was safe. I should have known. I flew too close to the sun with them fucking white people cover songs. Walked around and pissed myself off today.
They had to bring you back down.
Shame on a nigger who tries to run game on a nigger. I'll fuck your ass up. Right.
Love them fucking acoustic guitars.
Right. He wasn't even playing the right song.
Right. I go to
the wild to figure out what he was playing. Won't you take me to funky town?
Won't you take me to, hey.
Like, hey, man, you wasn't playing the right song. I know a fake when I see one, buddy.
Right. You 100% fake.
A man turned up to visit a friend in prison with a sword hidden in his walking stick. Water found.
Who we think that old man from The Strain?
It was Sarkeesian.
Yes.
Hey, you need to get out of here now. Yes. Get out of this prison. The vampires are coming.
You gotta believe me.
Another Strugoi is coming. Whatever they called him. Strugoi. final season coming back soon, Karen.
Yes, it is.
I know you can't wait.
Shit, I don't watch this one. I might as well enjoy it. Watch it to the end.
Welcome to my club, buddy. The Completionist Club. I've been quitting stuff and you've been finishing stuff. Ain't that something?
I know. Lately, I mean, because I've actually been, I've seen Steven Universe, but what I did was that I actually went back and actually officially watched it from the beginning. I'm watching from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And when you go back and watch it, you'll see how the episodes kind of build on top of each other. And, you know, it's one of those things where Steven Universe, like, starts kind of in the middle of the series, if that makes sense, and they kind of wrapping you around. So it has been a fun ride going back and watching Steven Universe.
And I quit Fargo this week.
What? You quitting shit?
I quit the fuck out of Fargo. Terrible ass show.
I hate to be like this. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to quit torturing yourself like that, because that's one thing about me. I am quick to quit some shit and be like, I am out and I will never return. You ain't got to bore me and beat me but once.
Yeah, Fargo's terrible this season. I don't know what the fuck happened season 3.
Too much good TV on.
It's like season 3 is just people that watched the other Fargo and was like, we don't have to work this hard, and just made a worse show. Anyway, yeah, I'm quitting shit now. So yeah, they found the sword. When they searched the 60-year-old at the top of the security jail, they allowed the visitor to go ahead and call police at Woodhill and Milton Keynes. Police confirmed last night a man from Owlsbury was arrested. He's been released under investigation and the weapon has been confiscated. Source said it's beggars belief anyone would bring a concealed weapon into a jail. Officers couldn't believe our eyes when they saw the size of the blade. It was sharp as hell and a lethal weapon. The question is, why was it brought in? The Category A jail is home to the 819 Lags. Sound like a fucking Sons of Anarchy game.
Right.
Soham child killer Ian Huntley was held there for a time. Well, speaking of a time, we had one today, guys.
We did. I had a fun time with y'all today.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening and supporting us. And shout out to the premium people. Enjoy y'all's.
Shout out to the premium people.
Premium podcast fees y'all, and all that stuff.
Y'all made it worth Roger being up all night.
Yep. Now to edit this show, watch Supergirl, hopefully eat dinner and get some sleep. All right, guys. Till tomorrow. Love you.
Love you too. Mwah.